This week on the Warp World Podcast, we smell what the Master Chef is cooking. Also, we're going to be at GDC this week, so if you're there, try and find us. Say hello.
Welcome, everybody, to the Warp World Podcast, episode 87. I am Graham Pooh Bear, and joining me this week and each and every week, of course, is the beautiful, gorgeous, sexy, tank-topped right now. How warm is it in Canada right now, X-Water?
It feels like summer now. It's like one of those days where it rained, but it was like at least 8 or 9 Celsius. I don't know what that is in freedom units. Means. I'm sorry. Yeah,
freedom units. Can't help you. Well, in my damn freedom, it's warming up here too. It's Jakku, you as well.
Yeah, it
getting hotter.
It rained here too, and it got hot, but then it got cold.
I totally forgot to just introduce Jakku there. I was so distracted.
It's all right. It's like the direct relief photo.
For those who don't know what Jakku's referencing, Direct Relief actually tweeted out this photo. They were doing like a talk about how gaming can help with charities. And on the front and center is X-Water's beautiful smiling face before last year's Calithon run. And then right behind him was my beautiful smiling face, of course. And then you can kind of barely see cut out of the picture one of Jakku's feet. Just one.
Yeah.
Because they straight up cut him out of the picture. Like
they got their...
It's pretty savage.
They got a logo on there. It says Direct Relief. Covers me right up.
Yeah, like their slide information just takes up the whole right side. Yeah. And like the whole left, I guess I was on the left.
Yeah, you were actually on the left. There was no room for both.
The couch, yeah, the couch had no one on the left, yeah. Though.
I think, I don't know, man. I would feel offended if I was you. I'm not going to lie. I probably would feel slightly offended if I was you. I think they could have probably made that work.
They probably could have made it work.
Even funnier. It's even funnier because I didn't notice your feet at first, but then when you notice your feet when it's cut off, it's just like, wow, the shade, you know?
Right. Yeah, like when I first saw the picture, I was like, man, I could have sworn like Jakku's supposed to be in there. Was this taken like before he sat down or
right. Nope.
That's what I thought.
I'm there, just right behind. Maybe that slides in, you know, maybe it shows the full photo and then that one logo thing slides in.
Oh, that's wishful what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm hoping.
you're wishful thinking right there. I appreciate it. You know,
I have to laugh at stuff like that though. It was hilarious. And Moni with the tweet right after from Monsters
so
Inc.
Good.
Yeah, Did you see that?
She had a good response tweet.
I was on TV.
The Monsters Inc. moment was a pretty good response tweet. Yeah. I got to admit.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you guys having a good week then? Everything going well? Any crazy exciting things?
If not 1 hour ago, I tried to cook a sausage again. Update on the sausage saga. And I did it correctly this week.
Thanks to your meat thermometer.
I didn't buy one yet. I just left it on there for a really long time.
Was it good then?
We're going to find out in about 6 hours.
I feel like there's a delicate space between too cooked and cooked for any meat, you know? So
I would rather have it too cooked than undercooked after last time.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that is fair. Jakku, anything exciting?
Just working right now. Yeah.
Exciting lives here, gentlemen. Exciting lives, you know?
Not all weeks can be bangers, you know? Sometimes.
I think that's the first time I've heard you say banger.
I appreciated it.
It's catching on,
I love
man.
It.
It's catching on.
Bangers is a great word.
I agree.
It's just a solid word.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of bangers, Halo Master Chief Collection, which features multiple bangers of Halo games, is just announced. It came out on the Xbox One, and people were hyped for it, but it kind of flopped because, quite frankly, everything was broken in it. You couldn't get in a game. You couldn't play multiplayer. Like for months, it was broken for months. Mm-hmm. And people kind of forgot about it. I know I definitely forgot about it. And I'm a huge Halo 3 fan. Now it just got announced that it's coming out on Steam, on PC for the massive PC crowd. People seem hyped about it. My two questions. So it's a two-part question. One, are you hyped? And two, do you think Master Chief Collection or Halo can kind of make a comeback here leading up to the new Halo? You know, kind of like kick the door down on Fortnite and Apex a bit.
I think with all the new cooking shows and stuff, Master Chef is going to be kind of like a welcome change, some fresh breath air again. I think people are going to really like to play it's Master Chef again.
The green Master Chef, yeah?
Yeah.
And I was going to try and say the arbiter, but of something with yeah. food related, but I got nothing.
Yeah, I never played too much Halo, actually. I didn't have an Xbox when it first came out. I had an Xbox 360. You know what? I did all right. I played the Halo 3. Halo 3 I had a lot of fun with. The four-player co-op was really cool. But 4 and 5 and what I don't even know. You know, it never appealed to me too much because, like, the deathmatch was already kind of... I don't know. I was done with deathmatch because of Team Fortress. Not 2, but original Team Fortress and just all those old Steam games.
Yeah.
So it didn't appeal to me as much, and or just GoldenEye. But that said, it was they weren't on PC, and this is now on PC. So I think it's good. I think I'm willing to check it out, give it a shot. It will be all new to me, so that's great. And I think it's gonna be fun. I think it does have a chance to kind of like re-spark the excitement for Halo.
Yeah, I would 1,000,000% be down for Friend Friday Halo 3. Like Blood Gulch, shoddy snipers. Oh mm-hmm. my god, that mm-hmm. would be so sick.
Mm-hmm. Does it have Reach on it too?
Yeah, they added Reach recently. So I think all the games it includes are 1, 2, 3 and Reach.
I weirdly love Reach just as much apparently, as Halo 3.
Apparently, people really like Reach. Didn't really play it as a like back when it came out, but after seeing the announcement, like the general. Response has been like, yeah, dude, Reach was like the best one, like the last good one, at least according to like diehard Halo fans. Mm-hmm.
Definitely the last good one. That's I 100% agree. Halo 4 was one of the bigger disappointments in my gaming.
Well, that was like the switch over for studios, right?
Yeah.
343 instead of Bungie.
Yep.
Yeah. And, yeah. And it was just.
Four had the Forge, right?
No, three has the Forge.
Three had the Forge. Okay, mm-hmm. I forgot.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know if Reach had the Forge, actually.
I feel like there was a Forge in the Xbox One in some of them, and like the things that they like updated and allowed you to do was just insane.
I would imagine the Forge was also... I feel like the Forge was maybe even in 2, was it?
Maybe at a basic... Yeah, maybe it just got really advanced later on.
Yeah, I'm sure each iteration improved.
Yeah.
It was Super Halo Maker.
Yeah, exactly. People loved that. Mm-hmm. And I think that really... That's what people did and was excited for, but, you know, it died off apparently because I don't see anyone play Halo.
Yeah, it is kind of it's interesting. Did you guys try Halo 5 at all?
No,
I haven't played a Halo since 3.
Yeah, okay. Well, Halo 5 was an interesting game because I didn't think it feels like 343. I want to say they're bigger fans of Call of Duty than they are of Halo,
mm-hmm.
and that's what Halo 4 and 5 felt to me. And I'm really hoping that with the new one, not Master Chief Collection, but the new one that's coming out, they can maybe get back to what makes Halo itself so special and the physics engine in Halo. Because I think that is what makes it like so incredibly special is your ability to jump and move around very quickly. And of course, like melee combat is important in Halo. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's for a first-person shooter, melee combat's actually very, very important in Halo. Melee combat, if you will. So I really hope they can get back to that sort of feeling with the new one. I would love to see in this. I know everyone's going to flame me for this, but guys, it's coming out on PC. Halo 3's, you know, a nice old game. Let's throw 100 people on that server.
Oh my god!
Make like 45 Blood Gulches. Just put them together and let's do this thing. Come on. You know you want to. Everyone knows they want it. Halo 3.
I'd do it.
Yeah. Hey, dude, Halo 3 Battle Royale would be lit, you know? Just straight up Halo 3 Battle Royale. I'm sorry. It would be lit.
No,
people would love that shit.
It would be fun. There'd be so much you could do. So, fun fact, I guess. Halo started as a Mac game way back in the day. And then Microsoft bought the studio, I believe. I don't know if you guys did a historian's episode on this at all.
Yeah, okay. We did.
So you know. But it the Mac, there is a Mac version of Halo that finally came out years ago, but it's still updated in a way by modders and stuff. And like, there's an active online community for it. And
really?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Wow.
They really love it for some reason. There's like 4 games on a Mac, so it's all they got to play.
That's very fair. I mean, I'm not going to act surprised when we're sitting here playing modded versions of Super Mario World all day. So.
Right.
Who does that shit? Come on. Yeah, that is what I definitely realized. There's tons of little small communities out there for all that shit.
Yeah.
No, I'm cautiously excited for just the future of Halo right now, but I could just be rose-colored glassing it and looking back on these fond memories I had in college of Halo 2 and Halo 3 and then Halo Reach later on. And all the hours I spent playing that and just, you know, be completely fooling myself. One thing I'll say is Halo 3 had, to this day, I think the best ranking system of any shooter game I've ever played. The way it ranked you and then matchmaked you, I thought that was easily the best way to do it.
I have very faint memory of how it worked.
Oh my God. It was like this beautiful numbered system up to 50, and you could be on a winning team, but you didn't really contribute. So you don't get that. You didn't move up. You know what I mean? You kind of just stayed at your 33 or 32 or whatever you were, right. You know, it was very prestigious to keep moving up, and you got, you know, special colors for your
chief.
Spartan. Yeah, your chief or special like things for it as you moved up in that way, or logos. I think it was actually logos.
The emblems
your name.
And stuff.
The emblems next to your name. Yeah, so you knew like you rolled in there with like a 50 or something. But it was I always loved that matchmaking system. And if you were going in solos, like you would be match made with people in your general vicinity of level, instead of, you know, the classic throw them all together and let's see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's especially that a good matchmaking system really builds an online game. I don't know if I'm seeing Halo as something that's going to like I think people are going to have a lot of fun with it, and we're going to have a huge influx of people like reliving the past. But Halo is past its prime, and I don't see it like getting back in the spotlight.
Well, I think there's a reason why they're remaking those 3 games or 4 games, I guess, in a way. Like those were the 4 good games, and so they're like, yeah. If we have any chance of making the series good again, we should just redo these and then see what sort of money we get, and then let's make a new one. I bet you that's what's going to happen.
Maybe they're feeling really confident about the upcoming one, and this is a way for them to kind of like try and get people in a position where they're like, oh, you know what? I skipped 4 and 5, but I'll try this Halo Gravity or whatever it's called. I forget.
It worked for Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2 was really good, though. Resident Evil 2 Remaster is like one of the greatest video games like I've ever played, honestly. It's so good.
And 7 was good, but we all skipped it because 6 was garbage.
We did.
So
we did. And now I want to go back to 7 and play it, which is interesting, you know?
That's what they want here. Yeah. Like, hey, these games are good. Check out this other game. It's fine.
They're reversing it. Yeah, they're reversing it. The way they remastered 2 to make me go play 7.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're remastering the old ones to make me go play the new Halo.
Yep.
I have cautious optimism. And leading in, I have no good segue for this because I just want to talk about it. But Xbox Live is heading to everything. Pretty much everything. We already have talked about Xbox Live on the Switch. Now it's coming out on the iOS, the Android, and the PS4?
So it's coming out on iOS and Android, and then Switch and PS4 is not out of the question, but there are things that they are working to do on those. They're building the tools to allow cross-compatibility and cross-play, very similar to what Epic's been doing. But they want to get into that chunk of the pie. And so it's not coming to Switch and PS4 just yet, but they're building the frameworks and the tools, and it's possible in the future for them to be on there. But iOS and Android for sure.
Yeah. It definitely seems like Microsoft is going all in on cross-platform.
Yeah.
You know? They're going all in on it. I think they want their games on as many systems is possible. You can play it anywhere, anytime, on anything. I think that's what they think their future is. And I think they originally kind of wanted that with the Xbox One, but you could play it on any Xbox One, you know, log into your account on any Xbox One anywhere and play your games, because they were all downloadable in the online system that ultimately never was. Is this kind of maybe their way of doing that? And doesn't it make you feel weird about all the rumors about the new console they're supposedly going to announce? If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. It's not necessarily the new console's coming out. My thought process on this is, yeah, they want to get in on every single device as possible, because, you know, I'm not saying Xbox is, you know, sells poorly, but there's a lot more PC gamers in general in the world, or people with PS4s and Switches as well. So, like, capitalizing on as many sales as possible, obviously the company wants to do that. So starting the framework early, getting that in and building that and getting games to use it makes it easier for you to reach those consumers and make more money on all that stuff. The new Xbox, I think we talked about, like, when we're going to see the death of game consoles. And, like, I don't think we're probably, like, at least two generations away, I feel like. But I think we're going to get closer and closer to just, it's a PC in a box that's just really powerful. And I think that's what we're going to see with the new Xbox, just like we saw with the last upgraded version of the Xbox. It's going to have more disk space. It's going to have a better CPU, GPU. It will run all the old games, but it will run everything slightly better. And maybe newer games will be even nicer looking, with 8K resolution. I don't know. I made that part up. But
49K resolution.
Like, I think that's what we're going to see with this new one. And maybe it gets rid of the disk drive. Maybe that's what the big change is as well on this guy.
Save, I can, you know, see that. $6 on the disk drive.
Yeah, you never know. Like, it's slimmer, and it's you have a choice. You can use this one if you're going to go all digital, or you can use this one if you're not.
Yeah, and even with, like, the way they've been offering their services for a while now with, like, Xbox Game Pass and everything, they're definitely trying to lead towards a more digital market, and, like, I mean, everything is, right? People, like, there's a lot of people who only buy physical still because they're just like, I really like having the case. Like, those are the only people, like, the collector kind of people, really. Most people have gotten to the point where they're like, I like the convenience factor of not switching discs.
Yeah. I mean, you travel and you bring your Switch with you and you have 15 games. They're small cartridges, but, like, you still got to put those somewhere and worry about losing them. It's nice to just be like, oh, I just got them all on a micro SD card. It's in the system. Oh, no, my SD card got lost. Oh, I just re-downloaded everything.
Yeah, I definitely agree that on a, especially increasingly mobile future, which is what it feels like. Digital's just the way. Digital is more convenient. I think we do know the downfalls of digital. Like, there's some games on Xbox Live 360 that you can't ever get anymore. And if you missed out on it, you missed out on it. Right. I will never get to play Silent Hill PT, probably. That fucking sucks, you know?
So, I don't know if you know this.
Oh, you're going to give me some back alley shady way, Jaku. I'm excited about it.
So, you could play the original one on the console. There are ways. But fans have completely recreated it pretty much for verbatim for PC.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I should play this.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try this out.
You can still pretty much play it and get pretty much the true experience. Very close.
Pretty much. You know, I don't know about just close. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I want just the close experience.
It's
Norman Reedus did voiceovers for this. Are you sure?
They took the audio, dude. It's the original audio.
See, this is a shady back alleyway.
It's a little shady. But
do you go ahead.
It's a demo, man. It's a demo.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. Do you think Microsoft's new console is going to have any exclusives? Or do you think it's going to be more of, like, almost like an overpowered Steam box, but not a Steam box?
Right.
If that makes sense.
That's a good question. I feel like the way things are going, we're not going to see any exclusives. And it doesn't make sense with their Game Pass and everything else. I think they're going to go, like, hey, it's out for Xbox and PC and whatever else can actually run it.
I can imagine them intentionally keeping some, like, titles off of the PlayStation, because if, like, if you're a consumer and you're buying your next console, and you can buy an Xbox or you can buy a PlayStation, and the PlayStation can play all of the Xbox games and the PlayStation exclusives, what reason do you have to buy the Xbox?
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, going back to their Game Pass, I could see that the new Xbox just being like, you buy the new Xbox for $200 or whatever, and every game that ever is available for it ever is on Game Pass, and you pay $10 a month, you know? And that's how they're basically like, almost like, we know the console business only has two more generations. We need to be Spotify for games. We need to be Netflix for games. You know, we can do that the way that Apple was for music for so long, you know, before Spotify, you know? So I could see that being their play. Game Pass is actually really great. Everyone I know who uses Xbox Game Pass fucking loves it.
Mm-hmm.
I still have not booted up my Xbox in 2 years, I want to say. My Xbox One is the ultimate dust collector. There's a thick layer on it right now. But if you put out a console for $10 and give me every game that's ever going to be on it for $10 a month, I don't know, that's pretty cool. That's a lot better than paying $2 for old shitty NES games.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of playing console games anywhere, Valve has actually increased their Steam Link support. Is this the right word that I want to say? They're basically turning Steam Link into a personal cloud service that lets you stream games anywhere, on any device, for anything.
With internet.
Yeah. That's pretty key.
That's the one key.
Is this a big deal? Do you want to play PUBG on your phone? Like real PUBG? I was going to say, do you want to play Fortnite on your phone? But then it's like, it's not on it. Epic. You want to play Portal 2 on your phone? Dota 2 on your phone. Are you interested
in that? Absolutely not. So I have like the regular Steam Link, like the little hardware box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sweet little device, man. Like it just like very low latency. Of course, okay. It's like connected to Steam through the local network of my own home. So it's not like it has to actually travel through the internet.
is that how things work? It doesn't just shoot into the magic cloud up in the sky?
No, it stays in my personal web. I call it the X web.
The X wide web.
The X wide web, yeah. But no, it's like very low latency, very like, it basically just broadcasts whatever's happening on your monitor, your main monitor, to the computer. So I love it as a device, and it's really good for like doing living room gaming with like essentially a Chromecast. That being said, like it doesn't really compete with the same experience as having like an Xbox or a PlayStation 4, as it is just like running your computer on a separate server. I don't know. It always felt a little weird, and there was always like a little bit of jank, and it didn't always work perfectly, but it was a really like neat device. That being said, the software could be a lot more fine-tuned than this like 3-year-old little box that I bought.
Yeah. No, I have the same thing. I have a Stream Link, and I use it occasionally, but like overall, it's just easier for me to run an HDMI cable from my computer downstairs to like my TV upstairs and then use a wireless controller.
Yeah.
You're saying you don't want to play?
Oh, I do. I want it to work when I go to use it.
Yeah. I think the ultimate goal for this is just like you won't have to be on your same network anymore because it's all gonna live in the magical cloud.
Yep.
Where every game lives.
Yeah. It's been odd even with the Steam Link and on your own network. So it just needs to work. And I'll be down.
I don't know if we're ready for this future internet speed wise. Like just plain old American and Canadian internet speed across the country. I'm not sure we're ready for this streaming only future. I'm not positive about that yet.
Not without fiber. Not until it's everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or 5G. Whatever that is.
Or 5G, yeah.
We're not there, but
I'm holding out for 6G myself.
Yeah, that's fair. We're not there, but we need to start building the technology to get the consumers wanting it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, if we wait for the internet speeds to reach the capacity that they need to for this, consumers don't know what they're missing. But if you say, hey, you can do this if you have good internet, more and more consumers are going to demand better internet so that they can do this. And this is the step in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And this Steam Link stuff's probably, like, I can envision it going pretty, like, under the radar for most people. I don't think it's going to be, like, widespread or heavily used or anything. But I do agree that it's, like, another step towards this hopefully advancement in North American infrastructure for fiber internet. Because if we can get that everywhere, or 5G internet everywhere, if everybody has access to that, then we'll finally have like this sweet, usable, like super network of computers.
The super network. The super cloud. You guys are scaring
me. The super cloud.
The super cloud.
Just call it
SkyNet. Dude, having fiber internet is like the coolest thing in the world. Like, you don't have to worry ever about how long. Like, dude, I had to download, I think, a 90 gig game. And it took like 30 minutes.
That's still slow.
For like, that's pretty fast.
I mean, I have a gig down, and like that takes me like 10 minutes or less.
For 90 gigs?
Yeah.
90 gigs at a gig a second. I mean, I'm just doing
gigabit
the math.
A second, yeah, gigabit. Not gigabyte.
Oh, yeah. Apologize.
Yeah. So gigabyte divided by 8.
Yeah,
I mean, but well, yeah, I threw out a random number anyway. The point is, it's fast, and I like it.
Oh man, it's gonna be interesting to see. I definitely believe in the play games anywhere, on any device is a much better future than having, you know, to leave my game whenever I leave town. You know, there's some games I just want to play all the time, and that's dope. That's awesome. I gotta mention this. We didn't have this on our rundown. Have you guys heard the rumors about Sony possibly buying Take-Two, who owns Rockstar, who owns the 2K series?
Oh, yeah.
What would be your thoughts on that? That would mean an exclusive Grand Theft Auto. The next sequel that is inevitably being made would be exclusive to Sony consoles.
Get out of here with that, Sony.
It doesn't sound hugely likely. I feel like I saw a post somewhere saying, like, this is definitely not happening.
I don't know. It was a pretty strong... There were pretty strong rumors out there. Is there any company that you'd be more disappointed that went, like, just, first party? Any company that would you be more disappointed in that if it was just first party, they only made games for one console, than Rockstar?
I mean, I wouldn't care.
You guys, yeah, you don't like Grand Theft Auto, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing against it, but Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead, I don't really play them that much.
What?
But
yeah,
here's the question though. Like, imagine, so you're Sony, you buy Take-Two, you have Rockstar, you have all this stuff. Now, the sales you lose from selling this game on other consoles and PC. Is that made up for by the amount of traction that the PlayStation gains?
Mm-hmm.
Will making this an exclusive on the PlayStation 4 be enough to effectively kill the other console? Or are you just buying a company and then hemorrhaging its ability to make money by limiting it to one platform?
Well, I think, first of all, the people who get to sell the company cash the fuck out.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's important to those people, which is kind of fucked up. But I don't know. I think it goes both ways. I think not having to develop for multiple platforms can probably have its advantages as a development team. You know, you can focus more resources in different areas than having to develop for, you know, the PC, the Xbox, the PlayStation 4. And I don't know the difference between them. You know, especially if you want to throw it on the Switch, I'm sure it takes time and money and dedication and resources. I do think that if the new Grand Theft Auto was a console exclusive, that no one is going to buy the other console that month. You know, if it was only on Xbox, like if it was an Xbox exclusive, that would be a tremendously gigantic deal. I think the new Grand Theft Auto is going to move many, many, many units, you know, in the 20 to 30 million, even if it wasn't exclusive in the first week, personally.
What do you think?
I don't know if there's a bigger series than Grand Theft Auto, honestly.
Yeah. What do you think the going rate to buy Rockstar 2K would be?
A good tens of billions?
Okay.
No. I mean, more... Probably, I don't know about tens of billions, but maybe like the Candy Crush guys sold for what, like 6.5 billion? And Rockstar, I mean, just Rockstar itself, I feel like, is worth $1 billion. And those 2K games, this 2K sports games, the NBA 2K, like that.
Sports
also,
games are big.
Yeah, and that bleeds money from people, that game, dude. That game is so transaction heavy. Like, you don't even. If you're playing NBA 2K, you don't even buy the original version. You have to buy like the $130 version right out, which is like fucked up to say, but tons of people do it. It's a huge game on Twitch, honestly. Like it's a really big game on Twitch. There's a 2K league that's relatively big as an esports league, you know?
Yeah.
I would say probably about 10 billion. I think I'm curious if like Rockstar or I'm just amazed Sony has the money to buy the Rockstar. I think that's the thing that amazes me.
So,
and well, they might not though, because it is just a rumor.
So Sony has said there is no. This is a rumor. We have no plans to do this. Rockstar's market cap's about $10.4 billion. Sony has about $9 billion on hand. Sony Entertainment, not the entire Sony company. Sony company could, but so. That said, like they could do it with stocks and other things to get over that hump to $14 billion or something to offer them. But like $10 billion, you know, that's still a decent amount of money you're bringing in on your own. I don't see that being the right play for 2K or Rockstar to take, unless like they're getting like $20 billion, which then is just insane.
Yeah, I mean,
it's possible.
Sony could do it. I don't know if that would ever work out in their favor.
Grand Theft Auto 5 is still one of the best-selling games
month
to month. And it has, like, it's got tons of little microtransactions that people buy.
Yeah, but if you offer a company $20 billion and a lot of these people at Rockstar have been there for a while, they're going to be like, oh, sweet, payday, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're buying a company that's known for making great games, but a lot of their good employees left.
But you got those franchises.
You got those franchises.
You have the Grand Theft
Auto franchise. One bad game.
You're right, though. That's all it takes.
It's a huge
Halo Reach was fucking awesome, and Halo 4 sucked, and we never talk about Halo ever again.
Yeah. I don't know. It would be such an interesting move, though. The sports alone would be insane just for that to happen. Sports fans would go crazy.
Yeah.
So
I thought EA had some hand in the sports game.
EA has some. Well, it's in the game, man.
Yeah. But so EA does Madden and FIFA, which are the two big football games, you know? And then the big
2K's
NBA game.
Basketball.
Yeah, the big NBA game is basketball. NBA 2K. It's significantly better.
But who's doing swimming?
You know, water polo is still up there. Actually, EA has a really cool cricket game, from what I understand.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if you're into cricket at all. It's okay. but yeah, I mean, it's NBA 2K is I wouldn't say as big as Madden, but it's probably really, really close. And I could be completely wrong. It might have passed Madden at this point. FIFA's still king. But you know, NBA 2K has that, you know, like the ultimate team where you buy the card packs. Just like Madden does. But then it also has a really robust, like, create a player online mode. And you create guys and then take them, like, to the street. And there's, like, places you can go around and get haircuts. And each haircut costs money. You know, like, the in-game currency. And it's
yeah.
Dude, like, you end up spending, like, $4 to get a haircut. Another $3 to put some Jordans on your guy. By the time you even get to the park and realize that you need to level them up, you've already down like $20, and then you get to the park and you realize like, oh my God, everybody's already maxed out with buy points. You got to buy the points, and you like max out at like 85 with like points you can buy. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
People spend mad money on that game.
You can get a lot of money from it.
I know this because I've spent mad money on that game before.
Yeah, I've read a little bit about like the way people spend money on FIFA and how people are hate that series so much because of like, you know, the typical sports game, like not different year to year and just more microtransactions, yep. But because it's a sports game, everyone still buys it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Sports games are wild, man. That's like, if you got into sports games early in the gaming industry, like those guys are so happy about that decision, about landing those contracts way back.
Man, I used to be huge into sport games. Like I was a big Madden player in college. I was a big NBA 2K player even as recently. I love sports games. I've fallen out of love with having the most fun modes be locked behind these ridiculous amounts of microtransactions.
Yeah.
And it's never ending. It is literally never ending. And you know what sucks is like if you do the ultimate team, as the season goes on, they just keep releasing like better and better packs. So if you want to keep going, you know, if you want to keep up with the competition, you have to buy another one. Like, you know, right when you're about to kick the habit, they release this better pack and you can get a better team, but it's just, you know, an extra $4, like whatever. It's outrageous. It's insane how much they do it. And I mean, Grand Theft Auto kind of does the same thing. They release like better and better cars that are outrageously expensive. Like if you got into Grand Theft Auto Online right now, it's so difficult to do without spending actual money on microtransactions. You kind of are forced to almost at this point. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. Microtransactions in online games that don't need to be there make me real sad.
I love the way Fortnite handled them, and I don't like necessarily the way that Take-Two handles them. That's for sure. But I do love Grand Theft Auto, and I'll totally play the new one and play all their online shit. So I'm also a sucker. I'm a sucker. What can I say?
So will you? What happens if you buy it on PC? Are you gonna buy the new Grand Theft Auto on PC?
Well, it'll probably come out on console, then PC, because that's how they really get you with Take-Two, is they release it on, they release it on console. This is, Grand Theft Auto 5 is a top 5 selling game on both the 360, PlayStation 3, and the PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, and the PC. You know? It's one of the most played games on Steam. Like, they've gotten their money worth out of that. I think it sold over 10 million copies on all 4 systems.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's probably way more than that.
Yep. It's a crazy game. And they know what they're doing with it. That series in general at this point. You know, you mentioned 2K. You know who was the publisher for some certain games that we all love?
What certain games are those?
Well,
Yaku.
Well, you know, there's a rumor that Borderlands 3 is coming out. And 2K was the publisher of those games. So
this is true.
So that's a connection right there. That's a segue into Borderlands 3. Rumors? What? X-Water.
Rumors/hints?
Yeah, X-Water, you know a little bit about this. You know, you've covered Borderlands.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, like, it wasn't too long ago that Gearbox Software, the people behind Borderlands, they were like, we're not doing 3. It's indefinitely delayed. 3 is not happening, pretty much. And that was like an official statement from them. So now, a couple days ago, we get, you know, the tweet about just shows like, you know, Borderlands art style, March 28th on a board, like a little traffic board that says Boston. And as Jakku so eloquently pointed out, Exit 3 right at the top there.
Half-Life 3.
Confirmed. There it is. And then they showed another picture that looks like something they're publishing. It looks like it's not Borderlands, but with PAX and GDC both coming up so soon, it looks like they have a couple of announcements. And then, today they showed a picture of the siren from Borderlands 2 real blurry in front of something.
That's just the Switch version.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. It looks fantastic. Can't wait to play it on the Switch.
30 frames per second.
I'm stoked though, man.
Yeah.
Are we going to crowd control this shit?
I mean, we did for two. Yeah. No, Borderlands is fun. It, like, we played it back on, what do we call it? What was our Wednesday nights?
Friends Day Wednesday?
Something like that. It was like Bro Wednesday, I thought. Or something like that.
Wednesday Bro Downs.
Yeah. Wednesday Bro Downs. That's what it's called. We did Borderlands 1. And then we did Borderlands 2. And it was really fun because, like, I remember playing those games way back when. But, you know, my friends and us, we didn't have a lot of time. So we never exactly finished it together with the same characters. And we made sure to do that. It was really cool. And we were talking about Borderlands 3 because it was still not canceled. But I think by the end of Borderlands 2 playthrough, it was like, oh, it's been canceled. Like, oh, no.
Yeah, because apparently the... What was that one? The pre-sequel?
Yeah.
That one just like didn't do that well.
Yeah.
And it was also made by like a different division of Gearbox, like Gearbox Australia, mm-hmm. I think. So like there wasn't as much of the same staff on it, but
one bad game.
The series was done.
Yeah, one bad game.
Yeah, one bad game. One bad game and the whole series is ruined.
It feels like Borderlands like doesn't really have as much of a place in the current like landscape of game. Like, if I feel like its humor is very much 2010 humor. You know what I mean?
It
like,
is, but I'm calling it now. Borderlands Battle Royale. It just makes sense.
You think so?
I mean, it makes the most sense.
You drop onto a planet, and boom, there you go.
It'd be sharp as fuck. I mean, they already have the gun, you know, the classic like gun looting system. Like Fortnite pretty much took that from Borderlands, honestly. And I mean, a nice cel-shaded battle royale game could be very fun. You know, something maybe class-based a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. Also because, you know, everything's got to have a BR at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it lends to it so well because if you think about Borderlands, you're treasure hunters on a planet. And if a bunch of treasure hunter knows about treasure, there's going to be a lot of them going after that treasure. So
that's true. They have the plot device to essentially make it work.
If it's not a battle royale, what the hell are they doing? Call me up. I got you. I mean, call me. You got that.
Yeah, I think I'm sure someone kicked the tires around that around the office. And so they probably made a decision. I do think that they will need some sort of single player experience for the Borderlands hardcore.
Oh yeah. You know? No, that Borderlands is I consider Borderlands very much more of like a action.
It's like a party
RPG
game. Yeah.
With shooting controls. Like it's much more of a Diablo style game than it is a Call of Duty style game.
Right.
You know, like it's about looting.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing. And if you don't have a big world to travel through and loot, that's just gonna like break the whole formula.
Yeah. It's gotta have a witty robot. It's gotta have all the loot. And yeah, it's gotta have that single player and co-op experience. But I think like with the way battle royales are, like maybe that's what it is. It's someone pitched a battle royale game. They're like, oh shit, we could do this. And like, you know, people are throwing money at them. Like, yeah, do a battle royale. Gives them enough money to actually make the third game at the same time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. With the popularity of battle royales, it fits the theme really well. Like, I almost feel like the three just stands for the E inside of battle royale.
E3.
Well, yeah. I think it's PAX. The dates.
Yeah, you're right.
But the three
March 28th.
Could be how many squad mates you have. Or it means
that'd
nothing.
That'd be weird too.
Yeah.
But, or it just means nothing. Yeah, or we're just all being assholes here and it's just a red herring. No,
yeah.
I do think it is going to be Borderlands 3. I do think it will have a single player mode. I think like Claptrap himself is just such an iconic character that they need to have something in that vein. You know, a Claptrap. I just feel like he needs to be in the game, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I do think that it could feature a battle royale mode. I'd be interested to see if they do that. I think it is a game that would lend itself really well to it. You could have really cool, detailed, cel-shaded skins. But I do see what you're saying, X-Whatever. I don't know if Borderlands 3 does I don't know if it can capture like a moment in time the way it did with Borderlands 1 and 2, you know? Mm-hmm. It now. And
it was so fresh. You know, it was the first shooter loot game, you know, and now we got Destiny that's really like taken that mm-hmm. title for right now. It was the first, it was one of the first like popularized cel-shaded games that wasn't Wind Waker, like mm-hmm. on a Nintendo console. It all of those like really big selling points aren't that big of a deal anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. Like it doesn't have a lot of things going for it in 2019. But you know, what was it? 2009 is probably when Borderlands 2 came out. They just came out with Borderlands 2 VR for the PlayStation 4. It's probably got a few new fans. They've released the games on the Xbox One and stuff. So like, mm-hmm. I think people are still enjoying those games for those things to be on these new systems.
Yeah.
It might not have the, what's the word? The impact that it did in 2008, 2009, but I think it's going to still do very well. And it has, and maybe they came up with some new thing that's going to like make it fresh again. Who knows?
That's true. And you know, it definitely has a big enough fan base that like I'm going to buy the game.
Yeah.
Like there's no way I don't buy the game for sure.
Yeah, I'd probably buy it too.
Yeah, I did. If Borderlands 3 comes out in whatever, like, yeah, it's like, I want to play that. I had fun with the first two.
I mean, it's a fun, I think Borderlands is a great co-op experience, honestly.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see us doing some fun streams of that.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. but man, I really do think it could be a cool VR experience.
Yeah.
And the genre is so hot, you know.
It is.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with like every game making a VR like everyone else seems to do, because every game would have a deathmatch, and I don't get how it's any different myself. And
yeah.
It's a cool genre. We have the technology to fit 100 people on a server. Let's fucking do this, man.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah. So
Borderlands, like, have you remember ever fighting your opponents in Borderlands though, and how shitty?
Oh yeah.
Like it was, like it wasn't well done. Like there's got to be some huge changes to how that game plays as a whole.
Yeah.
If Battle Royale is gonna work, like if it plays the same as it does right now. You're going to have some siren go invisible, show up behind you and kill you in a heartbeat, or like some dude, like it's just all these weird janky things you can pull off.
Yep.
And I guess that all makes a lot more sense in the vein of, you know, the single player campaign where you can loot specific guns and armor and class mods to make your character this weird, crazy, like Omega hybrid build of whatever you're trying to do. So for it to work in VR, it definitely would need to have a separate kind of play style.
Yeah, it'd have to be tweaked a bit.
Yeah.
There's no way they can use anything similar to what they've had in Borderlands 2. That was not good.
Even the amount of guns in Borderlands. Like,
yeah. You could do that though. Yeah, you could do the guns. That'd be really neat. Every time you drop, you're getting gun familiar to you in a way, but it's gonna be different. Everyone.
Yeah,
and that's kind of cool, and that keeps.
That would be really fun. Dropping in, like one dude finds like a Jacobs pistol, the other guy finds like a Hyperion SMG.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what could really keep it fresh and make it different. I like it.
Yeah,
I like the idea.
They could be the VR that has more than like six weapons.
Right.
That's a really good selling point. Unlimited amounts of weapons in your game. And you know what else that can do actually is just, you know, increase the RNG, which decreases the skill pool. And I think that's something you've seen with pretty much every VR game. What ends up happening is the skill levels of a group of players get so high that everybody else doesn't want to play anymore.
Yep.
And I know that's like a weird thing to say, but it's kind of what happens. And that would be a good way to kind of delay that experience. Mm-hmm. You know, having this just massive RNG factor of gun drops, you know? Or people will fucking hate that.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I think that's cool, personally. I think the whole, mm-hmm. like, I get a gun I've never seen before. You know what would even be cooler? If they could kind of have, you know, guns you've never seen before, but then also, like, if you're combining them with certain abilities or certain other guns or whatever you want to do, they shoot in ways you've never seen before. Perform in ways you've never seen before, too.
Yeah.
Kind of, I want to almost say like Binding of Isaac, when you combine like three or four different things in Binding of Isaac, and then all of a sudden you're just,
yeah,
you're just like super OP for no reason. You have no idea why, you know? Yeah. Something like that, I think, could definitely be an interesting, you know, twist on Borderlands that would still fit in the Borderlands universe, but, you know, provide some a unique BR experience. We're sitting here talking about BR about a game that hasn't even been announced yet,
right,
which may just be a complete co-op. You know, that's the only thing it has is co-op.
Yeah.
But I think they'd be missing out if they didn't try.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that experience that you mentioned with the combining weapons, that would definitely make for some salty people.
Mm-hmm.
That would. And with those salty people, it's actually a really good thing we have them, because over here at the Warp World Podcast, our proud sponsors, Marianne's Chocolate, have actually been running a little low on salt. And it's an interesting case we got here, but we've talked a lot about how they've been making these delicious dark chocolate sea salt coins. And as of today and slightly recent history, if you go to coins.warp.world, those salty coins are now available in dark and milk chocolate.
What?
Yeah, yeah. You can get a 12-pack of dark, a 12-pack of milk, or if you're feeling bold, feeling dangerous, you can get a 6 and 6, milk and dark. You know, you mix them both together. Make a little, like, chocolate coin sandwich, even.
Ooh.
Put one milk on the top and one dark chocolate on the bottom. Put like what's that like marshmallow spread stuff?
Schmellow.
You ever use that stuff?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's called. It's in a can. It's, yeah, marshmallowy.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
It's like in a mayonnaise jar,
yeah,
but
it's like marshmallow spread.
Marshmallows.
Yeah.
That would be
have the consistency of mayonnaise.
Yeah, that would be gross.
Yeah, that would be a funny mix up right there.
Oh my God. But back onto the topic, Marianne's Chocolate, proud sponsor of the Warp World Podcast, and now providing more flavor options for your mouth hole. So go to coins.warp.world and order yourself a pack of 12 individually wrapped warp coins. You can choose your flavor, and on top of that, if you use code WARP, you get $5 off. So check it out. Go on in there. That's the plug. That's the plug.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually a little bit salty right now because you guys are going to GDC next week, the Game Developers Conference.
Oh yeah.
I've actually been to it once, and it's definitely my favorite conference of anything I've ever been to. And I'm actually going to be in San Francisco the day before you guys get there. So I'm going to miss out on all the cool, fun bro down times, as the kids say.
Wednesday bro downs, dude.
Yeah, the Wednesday bro downs. And and I got to admit, I'm a bit salty to the point where I might ask Red Bull to extend my vacation, or not my vacation, but extend my trip an extra day. I'm sad I won't be getting to hang out. Is there anything you guys are like excited to do? I know we're going there for a reason.
Yeah.
As Warp World, but is there anything, you know, fun you guys are excited to do there at GDC?
I've never experienced it.
Can I tell you guys what I experienced at GDC, my first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killer Queen.
Oh,
that was where you first saw
That's
KQ?
The first time I ever played Killer Queen. It was actually like one of the first times it was ever like out there. And there was just like tons of developers just going and playing Killer Queen 5-on-5. And I mean, I played hours of Killer Queen at that GDC.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Now whatever we do, we'll probably not live up to that.
It's going to be hard to match.
I'm just excited.
You don't know. You could be getting Killer Queen. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see just what it's all about, because I've been to the E3, but never the GDC. And it's kind of been like, oh, this is going to be really cool. There's lots of game developers. There's lots of technical people to talk to and see some really cool stuff that might never make it outside of GDC, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, the only thing I knew about GDC was that they do those panels. And so when you guys were talking about going, I'm like, okay, you guys are trying to learn more about game dev. Cool. Because, like, that's, like, you know, there's, like, they'll bring developers of, like, this year's hottest games or last year's hottest games on to talk about challenges they faced making those games. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know there was an actual conference with it, too. I thought it was just, like, lectures.
Yeah.
So I was like, at first I was like, well, I'm not very excited about this.
Yeah.
Go fly to San Francisco to go to a couple classes.
Right. I'm just excited. Also, hopefully be able to go to Twitch headquarters again. I know they moved recently too. And XPRT, I don't think you've ever been, right?
I haven't been. I'm excited too. Yeah.
So.
Well, I haven't been to the new office. The old office is really cool, and I've heard the new office blows it out of the water. And they have a Killer Queen machine in the new office.
Well, there we go. Forget GDC.
All right, we'll post up there.
Yeah, we know where we're
Any
going.
Any employees that lose to us have to give us a tier 6 sub.
And a wrench.
Or tier 3.
No,
and
get
a
tier 6. Get a tier 6, man. They can make it happen.
Yeah, go for that. Shoot for the stars, dude.
Holy 100 sub points.
Yeah, would that be 100 sub points? Oh, I got two things I got to talk about related to Twitch. I just forgot, but... Well, we can get into that in a minute. We're still talking about the sub moment.
I hope you get a confirmation of my super partner status. That's what I'm really looking for when you go visit. Yeah,
I'll check into the database.
You can just ask someone. Yeah, you just hack into the database.
Yeah, they let me in. They're already screwed.
Yeah, make it happen for all of us, you know, while you're there. Just go ahead and throw all three of us in. Exactly.
Yeah.
I am a little bit salty. It's a super fun conference. I will actually be there with Red Bull, completely separate for just a day, a quick day trip. And the day before, which is like the pre-conference, before everyone's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's probably going to be shit I can't play.
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to, you know, I'm not going to maybe get to run into Miyamoto or, you know, Kojima.
Right.
Or one of those game dev celebrities. I probably won't get to meet any of them. Lauren Lenning of Oddworld. You know, I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm sad. I'm jealous. I'm not going to lie, guys. So I am salty about that. But I'm also milk chocolatey because you guys are going to go and represent Warp World very well.
Yeah. Well,
very well.
I hope you are able to extend your stay because it'd be good to have you for at least one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be sweet.
Real quick before we move on to the hot take.
I gotta
say one thing. I had my first 100 gift sub bomb essentially this week.
Oh,
it was 520, but it was amazing.
Do you have the like single alert or did it just like slam over and over
slammed
again?
Over and over again?
Nice.
But my alert's quick. It's the is this a subscription?
Yeah,
it's quick.
Yeah,
but it was great. It was really fun. So thank you for that. But also we found out that there's another Jakku on Twitch.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, what?
Oh, yeah. You don't even know. Literally on Tuesday, I'm browsing Super Mario Maker as I do. And I scroll down and I see a streamer play Mario Maker named Jakku. I'm like, I'm not streaming. What the fuck? And I click on it and it's J-A-K-K-U. It's a 16-year-old British ginger.
Oh.
And I just type the Jakku lurk emote. And he looks over pretty much immediately. And he goes, Jakku, I've got some explaining to do, don't I?
I've got some explaining to do.
It was the most hilarious thing. The kid, he did the same thing as I did. You know, he's like, I need a cool name. He didn't use his name. Well, his name's Jack. So he's like, oh, I'll throw this in the translator. Figured out Jakku, double K. Started using it like 3-4 years ago before Star Wars episode 7. Everyone called him a planet. It's a whole thing. But he's just playing Mario Maker. And like I hosted him because I'm like, why not? I tweeted him out. We got him up to like, you know, 20, 30 viewers. Got him like 15 subs. He just made affiliate last week. So he was super ecstatic. It's really funny. But apparently people would go to his channel and or see him in another chat and be like, thank you so much for all that you've done for the Mario Maker community. And he's like, what? But now he knows.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a really chill dude,
yeah,
too.
Like, he didn't know who you were before
He didn't know until after he made the account and started playing Mario Maker. He only started recently with Mario Maker. But then when he was in streams, he's like, there's no way they're talking about me. Who are they talking about? He doesn't, like, it was really interesting. We had X-Water was in the chat. Glitch Cat was in the chat.
Dude, there was like six different people with check marks.
Yeah.
And like, you could tell he was like a little nervous about it. Cause he's like, oh, what are all these hot shots doing in here?
It was so many of the Mario Maker community members showed up and were like, hey man, what's up? all because he shares the name. But now I'm called the fake Jakku. Whenever I go to chats, they're like, oh, it's the fake Jakku now. What's that verified checkmark mean, man? Come on.
Well, I mean, the fake Jakku. We got to get him on the podcast next time you can't make it.
Yeah,
the
other
Jakku.
There you go. But yeah, that was just...
That's great.
Insane. Not the first time I've had an imposter Jakku either. So strange.
Yeah. I've never had to deal with an imposter. I wonder what that's like.
It's all right. It's not too bad.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, honestly. I've seen like Grand Pooh Bear spelt a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as they're not doing it maliciously, like it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as they're not doing it maliciously.
Yep.
There was the Mini Panga and Mini Pooh Bear accounts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the Mini Pooh Bear apparently went around saying like really racist stuff in some streams, you know, like dozens of people sent me multiple like screenshots of it.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know what to fucking do about this thing, you know, I banned him in my chat and stuff. So I don't know. I haven't heard from it in a long time, but like that was like super awkward for me.
Yeah. You know?
That was just incredibly weird.
Wow.
I know. That was horrible. All right.
Well,
Hot take. Hot take. It is when Apex Legends first came out, it bursted onto the scene, supported by a plethora of the largest streamers in the world streaming their game, including one
Ninja.
It's Tyler, guys. Oh. His name's Tyler.
Oh, Tyler One.
My teammate, y'all. Oh. My Red Bull teammate. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
Ninja.
He reportedly got paid $1 million to stream the game for one day. $1 million.
Did he hold the world ransom for $1 million?
He got $1 million.
That's crazy.
To play. This is a report. It's a rumor.
A lot of money.
It's a rumor.
I bet it's true. Sounds true.
Yeah, okay, so this hot take's a double hot take. One, is it true?
Yes.
Two, yeah, it's true. Two, was that money well spent?
Yeah, we're not going to debate whether or not, he should get that or anything, but was it well spent?
I think, yeah. I'm going to say yeah. I feel like a million for the advertising budget of a company like EA is like the chief of this, right? Like EA is at the top of whoever develops the Apex. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like a million for them is not that risky. They had a good game, and the best way to compete in the battle royale scene is definitely through content creators. Mm-hmm. That's like the number one thing that content creators are streaming. I looked at this. I saw this article recently that showed out of the top 10 like gaming content creators, they've only covered 23 separate games in the like since the start of Battle Royale. I forget the time frame exactly, but basically
it was this year from year to year. Yeah, last year was 300 games covered. This year it was like. Yeah, I think it was 28 was the number.
Yeah. So with all of this content coming out for Battle Royales, Fortnite has a massive, massive lead on all of the market. And what better way to enter the competition than by getting Fortnite's biggest player playing your game instead at the same time as having like all of the other guys too, Shroud and Dr. Disrespect and, you know, every one of these big shooter Battle Royale players.
Mm-hmm.
I think 100% because how much do you think Fortnite makes a month? Easily over a million.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense to do this too because not only are they now playing your game, they're not playing the other game at that same time. Mm-hmm. So the numbers just go way up in your favor because if 60,000 people aren't watching Ninja play Fortnite and they're watching him play Apex, that means 60,000 less people watching Fortnite, which lowers its rank. I think money well spent in this because we're talking about it. It's still going on. I know Fortnite has taken back the crown, I believe, and it's kind of gone back a few times maybe.
I think they're pretty equal depending on the time of day and who's streaming mm-hmm. what. But I think, you know, I mean, it's not like everyone's just abandoned right. Apex by any means.
Yeah,
you know?
Apex is dominating in the top five games pretty much always at this point.
Yeah, right now Fortnite is competing against Grand Theft Auto 5. That there's a 5K difference in viewers.
Wow. Who's playing Grand Theft Auto 5?
Summit.
Yeah. And Summit.
And Moon.
Yeah. Oh, Moon. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's got...
It's usually high up there. It's usually not second.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think getting Apex ahead of Fortnite for a decent period of time in the Twitch directory was... It spawned word of mouth. People were like, yo, you see that new Battle Royale that's beating Fortnite? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everybody downloaded it. It had like a million unique players in the first day.
Yeah,
maybe in the first 8 hours or something.
I downloaded it. I've yet to play it. But I downloaded it like within 2 days of hearing about it.
Yeah. I gave it a go. It was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I played it last Friday.
You played it with your boyfriend. How was it?
Dude, I actually really liked it. I had a really, really great time. I gotta admit, it's a really, really fun game. It's a nice little kind of take on the Battle Royale system. Battle Royale is just fun. You can't really hate on them at all. They're just really good times. So I gotta agree. It was money well spent. It was like for 2 days, Fortnite just like didn't exist on all these giant channels, and they posted Apex stuff, and Apex it just caught on so quickly. And not only mm-hmm. that, everybody wanted to. They're like, man, I missed out on being at Fortnite early. I don't want to miss out on Apex early now.
Yeah,
yep. Which was even a smarter way to do it. It's like and nobody had even heard about it. Yep. They dropped it, and it was the biggest thing ever. For a good amount of time, and I don't really see it slowing down right now. Shroud's currently streaming. 42,000 people are watching Shroud alone. Almost 100,000 people watching Apex. 151 watching Fortnite at this exact moment. 62,000 of those are watching one person. I mean, top heavy games, but I think it was a genius move. The way they bought the space, and not many companies could do this, but EA did. EA could, and they did. The way they bought that space was kind of a genius move, and I think they kind of set a roadmap, possibly, mm-hmm. to burst onto the current scene. Now, can we support two more of these games at this level? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be every game and studio mm-hmm. doing this, but if they want to have if they want to get a lead, they might do it, and it could definitely be worth it. Now that it's reported that Ninja did a million, the question will be, well, is a million enough next time, or will it need to be more?
That's a good question too, yeah. And like, that's just Ninja. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was probably a lot of money, you know, shared to other creators as well. Like Ninja surely got one of the bigger sums, but Shroud probably got paid. Tim the Tatman probably got paid. You know, like all these other guys who were playing on day one, like right out of the gates, probably got paid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like Courage JD and Dr. Disrespect were at the offices the day before, you know, taking a bunch of pictures. Supposedly, a lot of them worked as consultants too on the game.
That's
quote unquote
awesome.
Consultants. Yeah. Cool. Could be part of the reason why it's fun, you know, they that makes sense. It was a huge investment by EA. It was a risky move, and I think it paid off like all the way through 100%. Yeah.
Big risk, big reward for mm-hmm. sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they had, well, at least allegedly had these dudes consult on the game. I think that's such an awesome thing that people I'm hearing about more in the game industry, getting like consultants in that genre to take a look at your game and tell you what things you need to fix before you put it out, what things you need to change to make it fun.
Absolutely.
Not just that, like what makes it entertaining to watch, which is so important to games now. Yep. Yeah.
Like I know there was this podcast I was listening to, and one of the dudes who was on it like consulted on Spider-Man, and like he talked a little bit about that, and it was so cool to hear about like things like, you know, how long does it take before you can progress to the next area? What kind of like EXP gating do you need to do to make the game fun yet sink you in enough to make you want to keep going in and exploring these other areas, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's a hard balance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be charged with making a game fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to side questions.
Sure thing. We got...
Let's go.
One question from Rated R.
Hi,
X-Puku.
That's a good one.
Other than the games you have speedrun / grinded, what games have you three played the most? I was shocked to learn how many hours I put into the various versions of Binding of Isaac. Keep up the good work. MMOs, obviously.
Yeah.
I was going to say EverQuest.
Right. Like, EverQuest for Pooh, Final Fantasy for me. I'm going to say World of Warcraft for X-Water there. I'm just kidding.
A little bit of World of Warcraft. Oh. More so Guild Wars.
Yeah, okay, Guild Wars. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a lot of MMOs. What non-MMOs?
Obviously, well, I guess I kind of did grind it, but like Smash Bros. Melee, I got to have like 1,000 hours in. Warcraft 3, definitely somewhere in like the 2,000 to 5,000 hour range. League of Legends, Dota, both above like 1,500 mm-hmm. for sure.
Counter-Strike and Rust for me.
Rust.
TF2, I didn't play a small amount of either.
Yeah.
I think I got somewhere in 200-300 hours on that.
Yeah, TF2.
Rust and Ark, both for me, for sure. DayZ, actually. I loved DayZ. Yeah. Which is so weird looking back on it now. It's such a bad game. It's so horrible. It's still in early access, isn't it? It's never actually come out. I don't think it has
That's
ever
hilarious.
I think it was the first early access like game I can ever remember even thinking about on Steam.
Yeah.
And it's still not out. EverQuest, Rust, Ark, Halo 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Halo 3, yeah, I put in a lot of hours. I put in a girlfriend in college broke up with me and enough hours into Halo 3.
Well, it all worked out in the end.
Right? Suck it. Suck it, girl. Suck it, unnamed girl. I'm not going to name just in case someone randomly knows her.
She didn't want to. You know? She didn't want to suck it anymore.
No.
No, she was done.
No. Yeah. I wonder if like she knew, like if she knew what I did now, she'd be like, damn.
Or if she'd be like, wow.
Should've just let him. Yeah.
Should've just let him play that Halo, dude. Yeah.
Should've just let him play that Halo, you know?
Oh, man. Interesting. All right. Yeah. And then obviously Mario Maker, but that's kind of like a speed run for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a game we've all grinded hard.
Probably one of the most single-player games I've ever played.
Yeah. I think it might be my most played game of all time. It's possible. Mario World's probably up there, too.
Mario World's definitely up there if you count all your ROM hacks.
Yeah, those all three of those, Mario 3 as well, are probably pretty tied. I've played way too much Mario.
Gotta get something new. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's see. All right. This one comes from Manic T. When it comes to DLC, Nintendo has touched just about every facet. Some Switch games have free DLC, some have paid DLC, and some have no DLC. That said, you know, Nintendo says that they want to use DLC as a source of growth for their company. With the inevitable Mario Maker 2 post-release support, do you think there will be free, or do you think it will cost money? Any guesses on what the DLC model will be? Perhaps different options tailored for creators, players, or both?
That's a good question.
Anything we're going to say right now is purely speculation, but I am going to speculate that we will see both free and paid for DLC.
I'd be okay with that.
Yes.
Yeah. If they want to charge for DLC to keep the game going, do it. Because like Mario Maker on the Wii U lasted for 3+ years with some updates here and there. But like if you were getting money from that update, like it would still be like, we'd be like, why do we need Mario Maker 2? We got Mario Maker, it's fine.
Dude, imagine they put out like a new 2D Mario game and then do paid DLC to get that theme into Maker.
Well, what if you buy it, it just links it to your system to unlock it?
Oh, it's even better! It's even better.
That way you have an incentive to buy the new game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm fine with both, honestly. And I wouldn't mind if it was all paid, but I definitely think they're going to be dropping some free stuff here and there. Especially quality of life changes.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see, you know, a couple of... I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a season pass. The issue with, like, DLC and Mario Maker is... you'll be able to play content that uses items you don't own, right?
Yeah, it's like the...
You just wouldn't be able to make with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You'd be able to still play any levels that have this new DLC. It's think of it like the Amiibos right now. You can go to an Amiibo costume level and get the Amiibo costume even though you don't haven't unlocked it.
Yeah.
And same if you haven't unlocked all the assets in the game. You can still play them. You just can't use them.
We could even see like different game modes. Like it doesn't have to be, it could just be like, okay, we have world mode where you can play people's worlds and you can only do this if you buy the DLC.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot. What kind of content would you like to see?
I mean, more items, just more items and cosmetics right off the bat. I think those are two very, you know, simple, easy things. But yeah, more items and cosmetics right off the bat are definitely two things I want to see.
I'm going to go with more background music.
Yeah.
Because like we got the, four, five background, per game. But like, yeah, we have such a small list of background music and being able to change that. So you could have castle music in an overworld. Who cares? Like, it's your level. You're the creator. If it's garbage, it's garbage. But let me at least make the garbage.
Yeah, I'm totally with that. Being able to customize every little detail of the aesthetics, would be really awesome. Like, even if it went down to, being able to change, the shading of the blocks in a certain theme. I know we can already do that by going from, Ghost House to... Mm-hmm. over to regular grassland, but more options in the differences there. Me even being able to mix and match elements like that, all that kind of stuff. Aesthetic and music stuff. Dude, being able to compose music in not
Mario
in a level
Paint.
And
yeah.
then make that be the music for the level, that would be
dope. That's what I'm hoping we're going to be able to do. And maybe the editors like the one in Mario Paint, or it is just go create a music level. And then we will use that music as your music. That way you can't import bad music and stuff.
Yeah.
You can only import stuff that's technically okay. Either one. Obviously, one would be easier than the other. What I would find interesting, and this we won't see this, but it would be very cool, I think, to have a free-for-all mode in this game that allows you to just use an asset from any one of the five themes.
Battle Royale.
No, not Battle Royale. Just single player. You can just mess around and maybe you can't ever upload these levels. These are just for you to kind of have a stupid sandbox where you're like, this is a new Super Mario Brothers U thing. This is a Mario 3 thing. I'm going to have, we'll never see it, but it'd be really neat to just throw everything into a sandbox and see what monstrosity someone can make.
Yeah, I think Mario Maker is very interesting because I think there is about an unlimited amount of DLC you could have for this game. And if they wanted to, they could treat Mario Maker the way companies treat League of Legends or Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Or, they could have just constant more items, more costumes, more backgrounds, more music, more. It could never end. And I would be totally okay with that,
Dude, the amount of staff they would need to do that too is so minimal. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine it takes a large team to add a new Amiibo costume to Mario Maker, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Amiibo costume's easy, but for an asset, a new enemy, so much has to go into that.
The more enemies they add, the more items and enemies, the more work it happens because it has to interact with every other item.
The nice thing about it is that because Mario Maker is essentially a dumbed down version of the tool Nintendo uses internally to make games. Mm-hmm. So, there's overlapping work there where they're able to do things for themselves, for their tools, and then be put it in Mario Maker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Investing in yourself.
You know what I could see? I could see Nintendo's next 2D game being downloadable all in Mario Maker.
That'd be huge.
Yeah.
That would be wild.
Their
that would
be really Mario wild. Game, yeah. It's just something I could see.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the gold rush when Mario Maker 2 comes out.
Yeah.
It's people going to be shooting their pistols off in the air, cowboys riding around. I'm imagining it like the Wild West.
Oh, it's going to be crazy because there's going to be such a large influx of people who have never done a shell jump that want to make levels that have shell jumps in them.
Yeah. Well,
it's going to be fascinating.
If people do viewer levels that have never done Mario Maker 1, they're going to have shell jumps in those levels and they're going to be so lost on what they can do.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do viewer levels if you didn't do Maker 1 for sure.
You're going to have a hard time. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. I can't wait for us to talk about that. But until then.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
God, I'm so excited for it.
3 months.
Cool. We got any more?
No, that's it.
That's it.
All right.
All right.
87 in the books. You know what? We didn't go an hour and a half this time, guys.
Yeah.
An hour and 20. Good enough.
Good enough.
Hour and 20. We're getting there to that magic hour time limit of attention spans. But we appreciate you guys listening to our long ass fucking podcast. As always, keep on sending your questions in at podcast@warp.world.
That is correct.
I said that right this time, yep. Right? Yes.
Nice.
Also, make sure you hit us up on our Patreon at patreon.warp.world, right?
Yep.
Oh, everything's just .warp.world, yeah. And you just got to roll with it.
Discord.warp.world. Patreon.warp.world. Coins.warp.world. It's easy.
Everything. Nudes. Easy to remember.
Nudes.warp.world. Where's that go? I don't know. You tell me.
That one made me a little nervous, but just because you never know what Jakku's got. Like, I have no doubt Jakku could get in my phone if he really wanted to, so.
Oh, let me tell a story real quick. And this is for all those listeners that like to hang out at the end.
Oh, this is the bonus segment. Yeah. All those bozos who ended the episode once they started hearing
those
this.
Those fools. Suckers. Egg on their face. Last night, we're watching Proton John do some crowd control. And Axewater throws a thing in our chat like, oh, look what happened to Grand Poo World 2 on speedruns.com.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. Turns out, Pangea Panga, good friend of the podcast, good friend of Warp World, his account got hacked. And someone took over his account and messed around with some stuff and defaced some game projects, whatever.
Defaced the property.
Yeah. So I'm on a chat with Xwater. I'm like, oh, I know what this is. Not 2 minutes later, I'm in the account. I'm in Panga's account, and they've already removed him from the moderator for Grand Poo World 2, so I couldn't fix it. But I was able to reset his password to something different and send it to him so that the attacker could no longer do anything devious.
And oh, my God.
This
surprising that the attacker didn't
do that.
Change his password.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Attackers are weird. Because sometimes it alerts you, right? Like, oh, your password's changed. So maybe they didn't want to
alert. Oh, true. That's a good point.
This is a reminder to everyone out there is, you know, check out haveibeenpwned.com. That's PWNED. Put in your email address. See if you've been part of any breaches. Panga was part of a breach 5+ years ago. It affected him on Twitch, and he forgot to change his password on Patreon. Or not on Patreon, on speedruns.com. And so he never changed that. And so it was just a password from over 5 years ago. It's a scary thing. Use a password manager. We talk about it all the time. But I learned to Panga. Everything is good for him now. But it's just another reminder. Like, people are out there. They're malicious. And they're gonna have some fun with your accounts if you don't take that protection.
Seriously, use a password manager and use your 2Auth.
Yeah.
Like, they're two incredibly useful tools in fighting this. And they make the password manager literally makes your life easier. It does not add any inconvenience to your life. It only sparks joy.
The small inconvenience that you get on the initial setup of just going to those sites and setting your passwords to something is totally outweighed by the amount of time you save in future logins and security. It's so much better than having to remember a password every single time you go to a new site and be like, oh, I was logged out. Let me log back in with this stupid password I have.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was always a fun little tidbit.
My favorite part of that like moment last night was afterwards, you're like, let's see if all of my other friends have changed their passwords.
Yeah, well, I was like, all right, well, he's locked out. Let me just double check a few other friends real quick that are high targets too, now that he's been protected. Luckily, everybody else was, because I've been telling them password managers and two-factor for many, many times now. But,
and they've been listening.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I've slowly changed them all as I log into them.
Yeah, it's super easy.
Yeah.
And then one cool feature a lot of password managers do have is an automatic password change. So if you say, you know, you got 100 sites in there, they might have the information for like 50 or 80 of those, whatever. They might have a good amount. they can automatically go and change your passwords for you later on. So maybe it's been 2 years since you've changed your password. Yeah, it's in the password manager, but why take that chance? Just change it and it does it automatically. And you don't even need to know what the password is because who cares? It's in your password manager. All right.
You only need to know the password to that,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. Again, remember the password for your password manager.
Do you get a password manager?
No.
Or is that too many?
No.
Is that too many?
Yeah. What you really don't want to do is have one of those like passwords that's been, you know, exposed as your password right. to your password
yeah,
manager.
Yeah. That's put two-factor on your password manager.
Yeah.
But remember your password for your password manager. Remember your bank password. Remember your email password and your computer password. Those are the passwords you should always remember and should all be different. Just so that you have...
That's a lot.
Well, it's four. And
dude, I'm debating switching from one... Like, I got an account with one bank that I've been doing investing with and they won't let me set my password to anything longer than 12 characters and they won't let me set any special characters in it and I want to switch away from them just because of that.
So many banks are like
that. I was so upset.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many banks are like that, 12 characters or less and no special symbols because they don't want to have people put in weird symbols that may mess up the input and provide access to their database. And that's just poor programming because it's an easy defense if you know what you're doing. Sure, it's easy to just block those characters in general, but that just then makes your passwords a lot more limited into what they can be and easier for attackers. So, yeah, I don't know. That's our rant on passwords at the end. A little nugget.
Password rant.
An hour and a half almost. Almost did it.
All right.
All right.
All right. Oh, we should say, if you're at GDC, come see us if you can find us.
Have a great week.
See you guys.
Bye.